right, welcome to Fast Break Breakfast in a freezing cold day in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm Keith. I'm here as always with bundled John and Chuck. Guys, you staying warm?
I think we're going to have to move out of the studio if the weather continues to be this poor.
And or maybe take our talents to South Beach.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Chuck? You want to take your talents to South Beach?
This is the time of year I want to be there.
Orale.
Orale. Where the worst part is a palm frond turning brown and falling on your car because it's 68 degrees.
Oh.
Yeah. I would kill for 68 right now.
It's really cold
here.
It's
like 14 degrees.
There are people who enjoy winter, but I just don't understand them.
Well, they hunt seals.
Self-loathing?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the Inuits.
Yes.
I ate raw caribou for breakfast.
Some fermented snakehead.
Yeah.
That's a thing. Look it up. All right. Well, speaking of that, what'd you have for breakfast? I'll start. I had the impressive all-American breakfast of a Nutrigrain bar, apple cinnamon flavored.
Oh, Nutrigrain bar still exists?
No. Full stop. Yeah, it was name brand though. It wasn't like a Kroger knockoff.
No, you got the literal.
It was a Nutrigrain bar.
Well, those taste like if you put jelly on cardboard. So
yeah,
I'm sorry for your breakfast.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry that you had to go through that.
No, yeah.
Burr, what'd you do?
I made an entire pan full of sausage and ate it.
Oh, I saw that. We saw that when we went to the house.
It was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
There was very few crumbles.
I mean, we're talking, what is that pan, like 18 inches wide?
Big
it was
one.
A huge pan.
It was
I'm like in depressing single dad mode right now, too, so I just popped some corn tortillas in the oven and stuffed them in the corn tortilla.
Nice.
It was incredible.
That's a good breakfast.
Not even like
Chuck.
Nice ones, like crappy old El Paso stand-up shells. And then just put cheese.
Mm, so fat. Hey guys, I'm Chuck. Today for breakfast, I had leftovers from dinner last night, some chicken, some rice. I feel like sometimes you eat breakfast night and you eat dinner in the morning.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with it. It really changes up, really, you know.
That's what people do when they stop having sex when they're married, is they start having breakfast for dinner.
Yeah, that's probably that's how I knew everything was going down.
Yeah, that's the death knell.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, maybe we should. Hey, let's spice it up.
Like, hey, you want some
some pancakes? Maybe some
maple
bacon?
Maple sausage.
Instead of trying a non-missionary position, you just make pancakes at 6:15 and go to bed at 7:40
after watching Friends on Netflix. Because when it came out, we all got excited. All the married people got excited.
That is good. All right, so we start off every week after our breakfast talk with a thing we call the breakfast in bed apologies. This is a chance to make amends for things we've said on past episodes that maybe were incorrect or maybe just mean. So, yeah, you guys have any things you're contrite about?
Well, I knew I was wrong when I said it last week on the podcast, and I figured I'd be apologizing for it. And sure enough, as soon as I, gave daps to the Pelicans, they lost to the Horny Bobcats.
Well, the Horny Bobcats are playing better.
The Al Jefferson-less Horny Bobcats.
Well, and very importantly, the barely involved Lance Stevenson. I think that's the secret.
He's never getting traded. Why?
Does no one want him? Yeah.
But they let me down.
You thought there was a chance they could behind an ascendant Anthony Davis performance and his cast stepping up, maybe make that playoff push and hang on to it, but
nope, they got gobsmacked by the Wiz and then lost to the Horncats. I'm sorry. I was wrong.
Yep. Chuck, you have anything you're contrition?
I'm really sorry. I need to apologize to one Hassan Whiteside. I doubted you, bro, when the Heat signed
you. He's been doubted by others.
Right, he has been.
He's been cut,
by the Grizzlies.
Grizzlies did not want him.
Yes, he was signed for one day to the Grizzlies. Sacramento had him. The mighty Sichuan Blue Whales in China, they cut him.
Don't know if that's real or not. I'm sold either way.
Either way, it doesn't have to be correct. It just needs to sound right. But yeah, we signed him in December. We threw him on the, Sky Force there in Sioux Falls, which, by the way, has to be the most diametrically opposed D-League to...
Take my talents to Sioux Falls.
Yeah, to mainland.
They're racking up those frequent Greyhound bus miles
or whatever it is. No, they all have to drive in a Winnebago. It's like road rules. on MTV. You have to do challenges, too.
12 lonely Dodge Stratuses.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's been, you know, he had a double-double, five blocks against the Brooklyn Nets, against what would be considered a top 40 NBA center.
coming off the bench.
Right. And, you know, he played decent. So Hassan Whiteside, giving me hope. Thank you, and I'm sorry for doubting you.
That's a good one.
It's almost depressing that Hassan Whiteside is a shining beacon in the life of a Heat fan.
Well, what else? We're going to talk about the only other thing, maybe trading for Tayshaun Prince. Is that the only other thing that I have to look forward to?
That's a pretty good.
I also have looking forward to the Cavs taking the pick we traded for LeBron and using it this year with LeBron on the team. When we signed LeBron, it was actually a sign and trade.
Yeah.
And we took a pick and sent it to Cleveland, and now they're going to use it this year, which hurts me. Physically hurts me.
It's not good.
That, and we're paying Mike Miller's like $6 million.
Save it, Chuck. Just
good God.
Just bottle that.
I hate the Cavs.
Push that down.
I don't know. Do we even need a scorned Heat fan text today after that?
Things aren't going.
They're disgusting.
Things aren't going well.
I think. We'll get to the Cavs.
Let me get to my apology. Okay. My apology is kind of a broad, almost non-NBA related. My apologies. These are personal items. One last week when I was reacquainting the listeners with ourselves, I described myself, you know, as my pickup basketball style.
Yeah.
You know, as being kind of a wild man, good defender, guard the best white guy. I'll be real. I've played basketball twice since my son was born. I've been a disgrace.
Oh man.
guys aren't guarding me. It's like Tayshaun against the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals. Yeah. Like guys are like sagging 15 feet off me.
Please.
And I'm like, and they know I'm more of like just a hustle. And so, but normally I hit those shots and I was shooting them. And it's like, you know, you let a shot go and you're like short or like long. They were so far off. I didn't have enough time to describe all the different angles.
Just yell out clang.
Like, yeah. I wanted to be like, you know, like a upper right quadrant off strong, you know, like it's going to come over to the corner. I'm pretty sure. You know.
Off the edge of the backboard.
So that's one apology. The other apology.
So you're apologizing to the game of basketball.
Apologizing to the game of basketball.
That's decent.
Dr. Naismith. It's me, Keith.
And this
again.
And then, secondly, I describe my appearance as the Gigi Datomi or a Charlie Whitehurst. You know, I've been looking in the mirror a lot lately.
You're no Charlie Whitehurst.
No. I'm going to say,
good looking guy.
I've got to fix my appearance.
Yeah.
Oh no! This is a commitment that I've made to my wife. Commitment I've made to you guys. Because I figured when a man such as Chuck starts insulting my appearance, so I don't know what the exit strategy is going to be for a beard and long hair. But I'm telling you guys right now, I'm getting rid of some of it.
One of
there's
it, one
only
of
one haircut Prob- now.
Probably
the only haircut is where they shave the sides and it's a little longer on the top, and you put pomade in it.
I might do a pretty hardcore like 50s style crew cut, but with one of those Mike Miller lobotomy scars.
Oh, that's cool.
Just drawn in the side.
I used to have those in when I was 14 on my eyebrows.
Yeah.
I was in a game.
Yeah, that's Florida. Oh, that's Florida living
that's
right
Florida.
There.
Florida.
So the bully for you.
Those are my grander beyond the game of basketball apologies. And that wraps up, I guess, our apologies. Now for the week that was, which technically was only for us. We're only talking about pretty much 4 days, four or five days.
A very jam-packed four or five days.
But a lot of stuff happened. So what is your steak and eggs for the week? What's the best thing you saw?
Call train. That I learned is what the Atlanta Hawks fans call this surging Atlanta Hawks team.
Yeah, we're not talking about John Coltrane.
No.
We're talking about the sound a hawk might make.
Yeah.
Caw, caw.
And I got that text from two Atlanta Hawks fans this week because I used to be a Hawks fan, and they were like, caw train coming.
That's
and I'm like,
right.
Caw train? I just would just text back like, WTF, man.
Right.
What does that mean? Is that a threat?
Yeah,
what is this in reference to?
The Hawks are a buzzsaw.
They are
incredible.
Gamblers, take notice. Ride the call train. I mean, they're like 9-1. It's ridiculous over the past 10.
They've won something like 21 of 23 And one was a buzzer beater, and one was a 30-point home loss, which you just you throw those off. You just cross them off. They don't even
right,
count.
Right, right.
Yeah, they're 9-1 over their last 10. They've won 6 in a row.
And they've beaten some legit teams.
Just exactly. beat the ass off our mighty Grizzlies.
And they comfortably handled with the Trailblazers
yep.
in Portland. They beat the Clippers. Don't want to say effortlessly, but kind of effortlessly. They're so good.
I like a bunch of their players, too. Dennis Schroeder is awesome.
Schroeder is a man. Schroeder.
Peroncic. Kind of looks like me.
He does. Yes. He looks a lot like you.
He kind of looks like me.
Not messing with that guy.
No, that
Eastern
is a man,
promises.
That man. Could,
yeah, that's what we call him.
Yeah, he could. He probably just drinks vodka on the on the bench.
Nestorovia.
Nestorovia. No, he's yeah, he's one of my favorite scary men in the NBA. He's yeah. on my all like find a body in his trunk team. Like yeah. he probably does some hit.
He's the
work.
Russian that we never found in Sopranos.
He's Macedonian, I think. Isn't he?
I believe he is a Macedonian.
I think he's
Macedonian. Yeah, yeah. Former Soviet bloc. No, that's a he's a.
It's more of a Grecian Isle. Something.
I don't even know.
It's in that.
Is it?
I know where it is on a map ish. I can narrow it down between one of like those 10 places that are all crunched together.
Yeah.
If Schwarzenegger sure. still made Schwarzenegger movies, he would be a villain.
He would.
So I guess now he'll just have to settle for being in John Wick 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Transporter
so Chuck,
6.
Did you have a steak and eggs?
Oh, yeah. My best of the week is Hassan Whiteside. he had 10 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 blocks against the Brooklyn Nets. It's the only hope I have, guys. I may go.
No, that's
back
good. Hit your wagon to Hassan.
Yeah. No, I think he's a 7-foot, 260-pound big man who doesn't look awkward. He looks like decently
against
fluid
the right
with
opponent.
The ball. Right. And I'm not saying anything that, you know, he's all I'm saying is he has a chance to supplant Shaquille O'Neal's the franchise's greatest center. So and I think I'm just setting the bar you reasonably.
DJ
low,
Roni right? Cycli is pretty, yeah. pretty pissed at you right now.
Well, look.
It's the truth.
Yeah. I'd say my best thing, since we covered the Hawks, I think there's the other team to be talked about. The Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
Detroit basketball. It stretched over more than a week, but they are now 7-0 without Josh Smith.
Adios.
And initially, they were killing people, but they were killing kind of bad teams, and that's including LeBron's Cavs in Cleveland. But they then, to the surprise of myself, and I think even their own fans, they went to Texas, and on back-to-back games, they beat the Spurs and the Mavericks. And that's just crazy. Andre Drummond is he's getting 18 rebounds a game in 30 minutes played over the last 6 or 7. And
he's an absolute monster. And Stan Van Gundy is officially the coach of the year, GM of the year. I don't know. Like, what is he?
Officially.
Officially.
Chuck just stepped in and made the call.
No, he yeah. is. There's really no question about it. That team was 5-23.
5-23.
And has gone on a 7-game
win
streak.
And they're now going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I have all that money on that over, and I just considered it gone. And now I'm like,
see, I felt so hoping. Good about my under. I was yeah. like, they're way under. And yeah. now they're, when will they lose?
No.
Addition by subtraction is a thing.
Brennan Jennings has got his swagger back.
Yeah, he looks like a real NBA player. There's more room for him. And Jody Meeks coming back has a lot to do with it, I think, as well. It gives him that deep threat to kind of spread the floor a bit. But they are looking ridiculously the offense looks fluid. It's not that
it's
weird.
It's amazing
sticking.
How they
It looks like the Magic.
Well, yeah.
And they
I
were
mean,
good.
It, yeah.
It's weird when if you watch the Hawks play, you see the guys unselfishly just swinging the ball, getting awesome open shots. And they have more talent than the Pistons.
Right.
The Pistons have a big guy in the middle just rebounding stuff, and Greg Monroe is very good. But they're now just swinging the ball. And even Brandon Jennings, who's taken some wild shots, but he's been on, and it's like they just keep moving the ball. And it's so they're like the lesser Hawks.
Right.
The Hawks are like the lesser Spurs, but maybe way better than the Spurs this year. But it's like
some other players changed scenery this week as well. And it didn't go as well for Deion Waiters as it has even for Josh Smith.
Let's get to that in our scattered, smothered, and covered.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have more you wanted to say about the Pistons now?
Well,
you were making kind of a.
Well, I mean, I have.
You have a mysterious air about you.
There was this thing I thought about with the Pistons.
Oh yeah.
Can we just jump straight into it?
It's more Josh Smith. It's kind of a conspiracy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is this... Oh, so yeah, let's... Well, we can... No, we can... If these things come about, we can
I
do
mean,
them.
I want them to be...
Insert record scratch sound here.
So, yeah. So that was my Stay in X best thing, but now I think Chuck's telling us he wants to share his... turkey bacon conspiracy theory of the week.
So we all know Josh Smith picked up by the Houston Rockets, and we see an immediate insurgence by the wonderful Pistons, you know, going back. They haven't won 7 games in a row since Lindsey Hunter was on their team.
Hey, now.
And they're just doing business. Is he still
the Players Association president, or is that?
He was.
Did that lapse? Anyway, keep going. I'm sorry.
Now it's Derek Fisher.
But you look at the Pistons, and you look at the Hawks, how they're doing after Josh Smith leaves.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, what's Daryl Morey got up his sleeve? You know, what's he got up his sleeve? So he knows a little bit of a bit about advanced metrics. He uses them in everyday life. He has a spreadsheet to monitor his fuel consumption on his Chevy Volt.
Tesla.
Yes, his Tesla. He's also he's also bought into the idea that having a very large head and a very small body leads to a longer lifespan. It's weird. It's kind of that like phrenology kind of
Tom Cruise thing,
right? So he's bought into that and has taken the requisite drugs to make his head expand in size and circumference. But basically, I think he's figured it out and how to really push the Rockets past kind of good into great, and that is by signing Josh Smith and then eventually cutting him.
I love
because,
it.
Because he found some Russian mathematicians who did some hard mathematical work for him and found out you're way better when you drop Josh Smith from your team. You're ridiculously better.
I think that was a Sloan Conference seminar.
It was.
I think that was a seminar. Yeah.
And that he's actually come up with an advanced metric for it.
Okay.
And it's called Wapia Jashmol. And that's...
We'll put that up on Twitter.
Win percentage increase after Jay Smoove leaves. So he's actually pushing for just to eventually cut him. It didn't cost him anything to sign Josh
Smith. It really doesn't.
And then with about 6 weeks left in the season, I just assume he will cut him.
So have they?
And we'll watch him.
So we think Morey, has he figured out exactly how long does he have to let the cancer grow inside before he can excise inside?
It.
Yeah, and then kick it out, and then get the boost,
right? Well, you know, Keith, that's a great question. And basically, his Russian mathematicians, who he enlisted to help him because they were spurned by Mikhail Prokhorov's oligarchy ways.
I would say maybe they were cut from the NASA headquarters due to budget cuts. Thanks, probably, Obama.
Could have been that, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Wapia Jashmol stat line is unassailable and can only be taken after a 6-game sample. So we're looking at it now. If they cut him now, they would probably end up winning the rest of their games and sweeping the playoffs.
I like
fo,
it.
Fo, fo, fo style?
Fo, fo, fo.
I like Wapia Jashmol.
Wapia Jashmol?
I thought that was that Turkish guy that the Sixers got. Isn't that the Turkish guy the Sixers signed?
Wapia Jashmol.
Yeah.
It says Wapia Jashmol.
I think you're onto something, and I love it. Because championships aren't won in January.
No.
So you can sign some guys, and then, you know, it's like you get that baggage weighing down, and he's gonna cut ties, and they're gonna soar.
Basically, what it is like Daryl Morey has assigned a high usage rate, inefficient vest on his team.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they're just working out.
They're just gonna just carry this crazy vest, and then as soon as they feel like the playoff push matters, they're gonna remove the vest, and it's gonna feel like they're so light, and they're gonna just soar.
I love it. I love it. That is a very good Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy theory of the week.
I'm now trying to figure out how the Grizzlies can acquire and unacquire Josh Smith.
I think he's thought, you know, he's gonna do the thing where he's gonna cut him after that, where you can't then be picked up and play in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Steven Jackson Spurs move.
Dork Elvis outwits Para again.
That's good. All right, did everyone do a steak and eggs?
I feel like it did. I got the call train.
Yeah. And you did. Yeah.
I did.
Whiteside. And then I had the Pistons. All right. So now the opposite of that, the cream of wheat, worst of week.
Along with the call train came swipe right night at Phillips Arena.
Oh, I thought this was going to be your best. This is your worst?
This is my worst.
Why can't everyone have their own chance to find true love, John?
In this digital age.
Look, have you been to a Hawks game?
No.
No one's watching anyways. The last thing they need is a bunch of randos who I'm jealous of their technology, their creepy hookup technology, staring at their phones and swiping and milling about the arena while I want everyone to pay attention to the glory of the shark,
yeah.
Mark Gasol.
No, you mean Paroantich.
Oh, man.
Ate his lunch.
Dropping threes.
I would not swipe right on Paroantich.
No. I would screen capture it and show all my friends. Who is this psycho?
I'm more of a Paroantich man than like a Kyle Korver.
Oh, Kyle Korver's dreamy.
He is dreamy.
I'd swipe all the way right. I would swipe so far right it would go around my phone.
Kyle Korver looks like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer vampire.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
He looks just like that. He looks like an actual monster.
Yeah.
And you guys are attracted to him and are swiping.
I just think he has a very crystal blue eyes. Yeah. And
Dennis Schroeder has that like money shot in his hair, like Hasheem the Beat.
If you're going to keep it vampire themed, he could be in Blade. He could be like Blade Jr.
Skinny Blade.
Yeah.
Some motherfuckers just try to ice skate uphill.
Ooh.
You remember that classic Blade line?
I don't either. I don't remember bad movies.
Blade's filled with some gems.
He's skinny. He's skinny Blade. I stopped by Dragon Con in Atlanta.
So many fat Blades.
This year, there were so many fat Blades. Just big old black dudes dressed as Blade. Just not quite.
Butcher Blades.
Not nearly as svelte as Mr. Wesley Snipes. Not even to mention Dennis Schroeder.
Blade is a very popular black dude Dragon Con costume.
That's good. Chuck, you have a cream of wheat?
The worst of the week for me is the Memphis Grizzlies for cutting Hassan Whiteside
in the preseason.
Yeah, because he is apparently the second coming of, I don't know, Brad Doherty. I don't know. Like,
that's a triple crown for Hassan Whiteside, I believe.
I wanted to make sure we got to touch all the bases on that. Make sure America knows that he's a real guy.
When's your birthday, Chuck?
November the 10th.
We're getting you a fat head.
I'm going to retroactively get him tickets to Grinder Night at the next when Heat has their Grinder Night. And maybe you can swipe right on Hassan.
I'll go on Grinder.
I think there's a good chance we're not going to mention Hassan Whiteside the whole rest of the year.
Hey, look, a boy can dream.
That's right.
That's all I got, guys.
My cream of wheat worst of the week goes to the Oklahoma City Thunder front office.
Jesus, Presti. What have you done?
They acquired Dion Waiters? What?
This might be Chuck's conspiracy theory next week.
They have drafted in their history, we've talked about this before, beyond spectacularly, unbelievably well. They drafted Durant. They drafted Westbrook. They drafted James Harden.
Jeff
Green.
Serge Ibaka.
They drafted Serge Ibaka. They have Steven Adams, destroyer of worlds.
Yeah.
Easter Island head.
So then we all know they dumped James Harden. It was a catastrophe. They got nothing for him.
Nothing.
And then this year, they punted on the draft by taking a Hustis.
Yeah.
I don't know your name. Do you come in the NBA?
Stranger name than Yusuf Nurkic.
They took a hurt Mitch McGarry who hadn't played in a year, and they took a guy they put straight to the D League. So they just punted on this year's draft, much like Robert Sarver did when he sold Luol Deng back in the heyday of the Suns' prime with Steve Nash. So they punted on this year's draft. Now they've traded to get Dion Waiters to play alongside Reggie Jackson and Anthony Morrow, who was coming around and shooting well. And they have Daron Lamb, who has two good games and then 10 bad games, and is probably terrible.
Doesn't Scotty Brooks have enough problems?
And they already have Westbrook, who is amazing, but a shoot-first, ball-dominant player. They have Durant, who is the God's gift to scoring. He is the best scorer in the NBA. I don't understand what in the world they're thinking. It seems crazy.
Vaunted four chuckers and a
big man.
Easter Island offense.
Four chuckers and Ibaka.
I mean, and then Waiters says thing like where he was saying how he was better than Kyrie Irving, but he just thought Kyrie Irving was more favored by management.
Right.
The man's a head case. I don't care if you're the number four pick in the draft. That doesn't make you have potential. Once we've seen you play ball, like he's a horrible catch and shoot shooter.
His percentages are very low.
He's a bad. I mean, he's a pretty good. Typically, best case, he's a decent, you know, off the dribble, create his own shot. But he's been off on that all year. And why in the world would that team want another create off your own dribble shooter.
I watched his first game in which he went 1-for-9. And I will at least give him this. He wasn't taking stupid shots. He just had a bad shooting night. But I was scared he would just pull his old routine. So maybe he's trying to fit
in. I just don't get it. They have Westbrook and Durant. They've had a coach that doesn't seem like he can game plan or run plays. Like, they've blown winnable playoff series. They had the Grizzlies took him to 7 games 4 years ago with a really Grizzlies were wildly overmatched roster wise. They had Grievous Vasquez and OJ Mayo playing a lot of minutes in crunch time trying to, and this is pre Grievous being even kind of good.
Right. And this was full flavored Mayo.
And they almost,
this was a million. You know,
I'm just saying. And so they win enough games through Durant and Westbrook where you're like, okay, Scotty Brooks will never be fired.
Right.
So it's like, oh, it's kind of an awkward spot.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying they're going to go through Durant's however many years in the league, and then he's going to be a free agent next year. They're not going to win a title.
And, yeah, I can't see him. Well, I don't know.
And now their moves have just gotten weirder and weirder.
Here's my thing with them. You put the Thunder on the floor, and short of playing 3 teams in the NBA, they have the 2 best players on the court.
Yeah.
You know, and that to me is a recipe of getting you where you need to go. What they lacked was scoring when those 2 guys were either hurt or on the bench, and their scoring points per possession dropped ridiculously when either one of those guys were on the bench. So they need someone to score. And going back to what you were saying, this Houston's pick from last year is basically their first round pick this year. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, they're hoping next year.
And Waiters is better than anyone they could have picked up with that draft pick at the end of the first round, I think, right now.
Could be.
So, you know, from a real macro perspective, I think it's not a terrible, terrible move. But is it going to fit? Is it going to match their playing style? I don't know, and we'll see. But so Waiters could have one of those games.
Chuck sees it as a calculated risk.
It is a risk, I think.
I see it as just another series in the set of dominoes that was to steal from noted author and plagiarist Malcolm Gladwell the tipping point for Sam Presti, which was when he blew that Harden deal.
Yeah.
His mind broke, and we're seeing it shatter into a billion pieces.
We're not saying the Thunder are bad. The Thunder are very, very good. They're better. They're as good as almost any team in the NBA, full strength.
Right.
They've had some terrible luck with injuries with Westbrook and Durant.
And Scotty Brooks.
But I'm saying, with Westbrook and Durant, and then Ibaka and Steven Adams, destroyer of worlds, you should be able to plug in anyone who just isn't a negative.
Who's not Thabo Sefolosha.
I mean, honestly, I feel like a Thabo Sefolosha would do fine there. Like, it seems like they would just be hurting every team they played. And they've assembled so many chuckers and negative players on the bench that it's incomprehensible to me how they're not clearly, like, just trouncing people.
Well, on the bright side, they did get destroyed by the Kings last night.
That was a weird game. That's a throwout game. You know, like there were some bad performances.
Where Boogie just went insane.
Boogie was even bad. I didn't watch the game. No. Numbers he got, but he was something like 10-for-25 shooting. Yeah. Like had a bunch of turnovers.
Boogie stole the ball from Deion Waiters.
I guess that could be another one.
Could I amend my worst of the week?
Yeah,
Rick Ross. Heat face tattoo. That bum. You're a bum. You're a fake Rick Ross. If you see me in the streets, you could have words with me. You're a correctional officer. You're not moving bricks. You liar. You're a fake, and you tattooed a Heat thing on your face. I've seen you in Celtics green, you son of a... Don't ever, ever... You suck.
Is this you doing an impression of a YouTube video?
Yeah. This is my YouTube world star hip hop.
This is good. We're calling out Rick Ross.
You stink, Rick Ross. You probably smell bad under your man boobs. And I don't care if you eat a lot of pears.
Your soul is dumb.
You look stupid with your fat skin.
Are you going to drive to Temecula?
I'll see him and Snotty dripping. It don't matter.
Is that how you say Temecula?
Temecula.
Temecula?
Temecula.
That's pretty
good. We should take a road trip to Temecula.
We should. That should be our thing.
That should be our next podcast journey.
That's okay. Sign me up.
All righty.
All right. So those were our worsts of the week. Those were our cream of wheat. Worst of the week. Now for our Waffle House Presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. What have we seen in the last 5 days? We've seen a lot of the Thunder doing some things.
Yeah.
We've seen trades.
I think the center of the basketball world this week was Cleveland in their, you know, as far as moves, off, you know, front office moves.
You mean the desperate panic trade they made for Timofey Mozgov?
I mean, that's all it seems to me. I don't think they're going to get appreciably better at defending the rim with Mozgov.
He had 93 points and 29 boards in a game last year.
Don't
forget.
Yeah. And
screenshot that.
And by the way, the only thing Timofey Mozgov is also famous for.
Timofey is getting my wife's favorite first name. Mozgov. Yeah, he loves getting Mozgov.
He is a verb. He's a thing that occurs now. And
a verb that has connotations of failure.
Of failure and testicles on your forehead. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two things. And you'll bleep that out. I don't care.
Testicles is a medical term.
Nothing wrong with that.
But I think I was worried a bit. I thought that on face level, if we had this podcast right after the J.R. Smith-Shumpert trade,
yeah,
I would have said that is a stupid trade for Cleveland because they don't get any sort of upgrade. I think J.R. Smith is just an old Dion Waiters, and it was a silly move. But
they went Benjamin Button on us.
Basically, they got older and younger.
At the same time.
At the same time. But I think if you look at all the moves in one, you know, big picture, it's not a terrible trade, a first-round pick and Dion for Mozgov, Shumpert, and because they needed wins.
Yeah, if you see it all together.
It kind of looks decent. So,
And J.R. Smith is, he's an older Dion Waiters, but an older Dion Waiters who's been there.
Right.
Who's played in playoff games.
Yes.
And actually, over their both their careers, shoots a way better percentage from three,
and is laid with many, many women.
Oh,
the plumber.
He's lived his life.
He knows what's up with the pipe. That's all we're gonna say.
Yeah,
he's really
his yearbook quote, and I'm serious: is get chicks or die trying.
That's it.
Singularly, that was it.
You see a lot of people who have great success in their lives
attributed to himself
a vision early on.
Yeah,
right.
But I do have.
If Chuck didn't have a conspiracy theory, I was actually gonna. Did you guys ever see the movie Looper?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think J.R. Smith is Dion Waiters' Looper come back to kill him.
I love it.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's tremendous.
Yeah. I think though it's not going to go well for Blatt with J.R. Smith and Imam Shumpert. I know people. There's nothing more insufferable than someone who moves from New York to a small city.
Oh yeah.
They are terrible for like 2 years. They just hate everything. I can't get any Chinese food. I can't get a Chinese
food. Like Liz Lemon's boyfriend from 30 Rock. He took from New York to Cleveland.
Yeah.
This isn't Sichuan, real Sichuan.
I know. Where's my bao buns?
Good Lord.
No bao buns here in Cleveland?
That's not a bagel.
No, it's not. Where's my schmear in my locks? So I think you're going to get some of those. And those, you know, Shumpert hasn't played anywhere else as a professional.
And he's hurt.
J.R. Smith loved living in New York.
Loved it. Yeah,
Cleveland
loved
may have it. A
Carmelo's
lot of
wingman.
Yeah.
And he just...
Mozgov...
That was the life he wanted.
Yeah, Mozgov doesn't care because he's from Russia and...
Him and Blatter.
Do you have potatoes here?
Potato and vodka.
No, potato liquor, I mean.
And vodka, yeah. So he has running water, so he doesn't give...
Who will dunk on me here?
So I think the chemistry thing I think is going to be fun to watch with Cleveland because
I'm worried about J.R. Smith banging LeBron's mom.
Ooh, let's hope. One can only hope.
That could be trouble.
Yeah, LeBron's mom has been known to Delonte her West.
She's a bit of a Delonte dilettante.
Yeah.
So Cleveland has clearly they're all in. I mean, the fun thing is also Love and LeBron have player options.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. This was my greatest hope. All of the things that I hoped would happen to Cleveland when LeBron got there and they eventually got Love has come true. Even up to Andrew Wiggins playing fantastic basketball recently.
Andrew Wiggins is hot.
Ever since he dunked on Kevin 50%. Love. Yeah. He's shooting 40-something from downtown, 41%.
He embarrassed Rudy Gay on consecutive plays.
He looks like an NBA basketball player.
He started playing really well.
He's not taking these weird shots anymore. He's playing controlled and doing these little weird spin moves that are fun to watch. And so the person they traded looks to be legit. He's going to be probably a top 15 player in the NBA.
Yeah.
If he continues.
Possible.
If he continues to progress. Love is looking angry on the court. The only time he looked happy is when Kyrie and LeBron were gone.
The only time he looked happy, and I was trying to encapsulate this in 140 characters, and I couldn't do it, was, you know, it's like I wanted to say something like, see, like, love, like, look how good Love is. Like, he had 29 points and 16 boards, but they lost to the Sixers.
Right.
Well, yeah, but look, 29 points, 16 boards.
Right.
So that's it. Like, that's without him, he puts up monster. That's Kevin Love, boys and girls.
That's the love boat for
you. That's Kevin Love, boys and girls.
And then you just wonder, okay, so let's say the season doesn't end horribly for the Cavs. They lose in 7 games in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right.
And
which is a high bar.
Which is a very high bar, which I don't even think...
Which literally, yeah.
For that, but the East is so terrible. So they could make it there and lose there. You get Love, and Cleveland sits him down and says, okay, we want to give you close to max money.
Yeah.
Hell no.
But if we get one, if we have just a little money from you, we can get a big man to stop everyone from dunking all over your face.
We can extend Varejão again.
When's the last time a team... This is a hard question off the top of your heads, but I was thinking today, because you're talking about maybe trying to get Love to take a little less money.
Right.
Who's our last NBA champion who was paying their guys max money?
Like, you know what I'm everyone.
Saying? I think. Because, like, the Spurs guys all took cuts. The Heat,
the
big
Heat,
three,
everybody. No one was at max.
All took big cuts.
Max pay.
I can't remember when the Mavs.
Maybe Boston?
The Boston guys were all paid.
Yeah, they were all max level.
Yeah,
contract guys.
Yeah, they were all max.
Mavs.
Level. Well, and then Mavs. I guess the Lakers after Boston.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Right. So probably the Lakers.
Yeah. Right.
The yeah. Mavs. But I mean, the Mavs had.
It's been several years.
I think Dirk was getting max money when they won.
He was, and then he took a pay cut.
Yeah, he did. So, yeah, I think max money, which is sickening to me, just from a perspective of the talent should be
they
paid.
They should be getting paid.
Right.
As the talent. Yeah, and that's
it's
a
not,
weird
it's not
market
right.
Distortion. A distortion. So it's
no, I like how you say it.
Distortation.
Distortation.
It's a distortion. So
it's not English.
It's not even an American thing. So yeah,
has
I think
roots in Latin.
I think they're better. Cavs are better now than they were on Sunday
on
Saturday
paper.
On paper. But could they have gotten way better? I think Kostas Koufos would have been a much better player to have.
Well,
on
Koufos
that team.
Can protect the rim.
Right.
Mozgov can just gather rebounds.
Right. So I think the Cavs are struggling.
I want to know is if they got 2 first-rounders for Mozgov, would we have gotten 3 first-rounders for Koufos?
I don't know.
I think Tyson Chandler was traded for 2 second-rounders.
What is going on? Well, what's happening?
Man, supply and demand, my friend. Supply and demand. You had a team that was desperately trying to get a big guy. And honestly,
Cleveland got straight tooken.
What's so funny is Mozgov was completely superfluous to the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yusuf Nurkic is a man.
Yeah.
He's a grown man.
Well,
Mozgov
started every game this year for Denver.
Yeah, but like they don't play him.
Yeah, but JJ Hickson gets as many minutes as he does.
Yeah. Yeah. There's 6 there's 6 man big man rotation in Denver.
Yeah, that's
it's down to 5. But yeah.
Can we talk about what's really important though?
What is that?
The Grizz are looking to make some moves, or move rather.
As they should. There's rumors today that they've, or I guess broken last night on a Wednesday night, that they're trying to get either a Jeff Green or a Luol Deng.
If this didn't come from that big windbag Windhorst, I don't believe it.
I think it was from Stein.
Mark Stein's pretty reliable.
Written with Windhorst then.
So
they like to write together, those two.
Mm-hmm. Deng is, I think, is everyone's preferred. He's a better player.
Well, I don't know if Chuck prefers it.
I don't know. I mean, if
the Grizzlies would prefer to get Deng. I don't see how this could happen. I really don't. I don't know why Miami would do it. There's nothing for
you. Don't
me.
Have a first round pick this year.
The Grizzlies don't.
Yeah. The only thing I could think of with this is, and we don't have the cap space even for it, is if we drop Deng, we could maybe. We don't have max money for anyone else, so we couldn't sign a max player in the offseason. So we would, you know, if you were trying to clear cap space for Marc Gasol.
But Deng has a player option.
He does.
So he could be gone.
It could be a thing where it makes sense for both parties for him to go get more money somewhere else and us to cut him and sign
Come to think of it, it actually, what do we, I mean, Deng has been suddenly a bohemian bouncing around. He's been on so many teams in the last 2 years.
What do we
not
know about Luol Deng?
His real age?
Yep.
I wish I knew what Danny Ferry knows about him. That's all.
Maybe we should give Danny a call.
Yeah.
He's got free time, doesn't he?
Do you have the number for the latest Ku Klux Klan
hangout? I hear it's me, Danny Ferry, and Mom. I'm watching some basketball.
I mean, I guess if the Grizzlies wanted to include Kostas Koufos, because then they need a center.
Miami needs a center. Koufos is but decent, but that's not the guy.
I don't see it happening.
Maybe him in a future first, but
that's what I'm saying. Like if they did Koufos, and it'd be like a 2018 first.
Yeah.
Although and again, I don't even know how those picks convey, because the Grizzlies, this 2015 pick is conveyed now to the Nuggets, because Cleveland to Denver. But it's not gonna happen unless the Grizzlies lose 30 straight games and end up in, because it's top five and then 15 through 30.
Right.
So if they make the playoffs, they don't get it. And so if they make the playoffs the next year, they don't get it.
They have to either barely.
So then it's only, I think, top five predicted. So that pick will probably be conveyed in 3 years. So if they trade another pick, that means that they can't trade until 5 years away, because you can't trade consecutive years.
So I'm so confused right now.
We might have lost some people on that, but I don't. So Grizzlies trading a future first rounder to a team, they're trading a distant asset pick, not help your
Miami
team.
Miami can't even use it if they needed it right away, so Keith, it doesn't help in their rebuild.
Keith doesn't want to think about it, but the thing that will move is probably Tayshaun Prince and his expiring.
No, I mean, Tayshaun, I think, has been the most stable bench contributor, and he's plugged in and he's done well. But absolutely, with the $7 million contract, making $7.7 million, that is who you move if you're going to get another player. The wings out there, because the Grizzlies do need to upgrade that wing position, and the guys out there, you assume Jeff Green's available. You'd think Wilson Chandler's available. You'd think...
I'd rather have Chandler than Green. I don't like...
I'm not sure about those two.
Green is so streaky, and it freaks me out that Brad Stevens is apparently okay with letting him go. Because I really like Brad Stevens. And
I mean, I think
that's front office. I think this is part of the rebuild. Just tear it all down. Get rid of all your salary.
Because he has a player option.
And he has a huge salary.
Huge salary.
What is he at? 14 or
15? No. He's at somewhere around 9.5.
Oh, okay.
John Hollinger once decried it as the worst, I believe, Keith. That's what you're telling us?
Yeah. So it came out that, like, Hollinger, when he was writing for ESPN, described the Jeff Green signing like a four-year, $40 million deal as the worst summer signing for that year. Saying he was an unproven, he's being paid as a second tier star. He's unproven. The only thing he's proven is he has heart problems.
If they end up actually making this trade for him, that will really show you how much the salary situation in the NBA has changed in just a few short years.
And so I think it's interesting, because I think Jeff Green would help the Grizzlies. I think if the Grizzlies trade a future, again, we're talking future first round pick
distant.
And Tayshaun Prince for Jeff Green, I think that helps the Grizzlies this season. I think your upside of Jeff Green is he has been unfortunately thrust into the role of alpha dog or your primary scorer on these Boston Celtics teams, which has caused him to be very inefficient. It's caused him to be a chucker.
Yeah.
I think if you move him back just 3 years ago, when he was lesser of a, his efficiency was lower. He wasn't necessarily the go-to best player. He shot 48% that year. And it's like close, I think maybe 38 or 40 from three. So you hope if he comes to the Grizzlies, he'll be fourth option. Like,
yeah, it would be.
But again, these are optimistic. This is the optimistic reading.
And I think it would work. I think the Grizzlies locker room has a heavy vet presence. Zebo has been known to hit people in the face with a razor.
And Jeff Green seems to be a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't hear anything negative about him, his personality wise. And you feel like those guys will mesh.
And I think
it's just those dozens of 4-for-11 nights.
Right. But the thing is when you're in a good system, those 4-for-11 nights aren't, when you're the fourth option in your 4-for-11, it's different when you're the top option in your 4-for-11.
And also,
you can survive those, I think, better.
To what degree could this be posturing just to show Gasol that the team is willing to improve around him to get him to resign?
To a millionth degree.
To a perfect
100% degree. Yeah.
It's
just sources.
Right. Could be a ruse.
And it could just be like, whatever. They're just saying stuff to get stuff out there, just to get stuff moving.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, there's no more valuable big man in the league than Marc Gasol. And he.
Marc the Shark.
If the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies sole purpose moving forward in their front office should be to do whatever it takes to keep him in the uniform.
And,
there
are some people that are concerned about the Grizzlies are set up now to have actually a pretty good, if they sign Gasol to a max contract in the offseason, they're still set up to have a good amount of cap room to sign another player. And a lot of people are like, why would we don't want to trade for these guys? Because all these players with player options, there's a good chance they opt in for 2015-16
right.
because there's an anticipated really large cap increase in the following year. So they think most people are going to take these player options. So people are concerned, like Grizzlies fans are concerned, that you don't want to tie up cap room for next year with a Jeff Green or a Luol Deng.
Right.
My take is free agents don't necessarily always sign at Memphis / never.
Right.
And who are you going to get? Who are you dreaming of getting in the summer that isn't one of these handful of guys? There aren't small forwards in the NBA that you just love to get that are going to be available.
Right. I mean, I'm with it. But I think he brings, you know, a good, you know, punch of scoring off the bench if you have him in that role. And he would be really, I think he would be decent in the Grizzlies system.
So. Yeah. Is there anybody as Grizzlies expert you are? Are there any players that though you are eyeing out there that you think would be the upgrade that could help? Because I mean,
there's a guy out of Toronto named James Johnson.
Oh, I can't.
Where did he play last year?
Yeah, I can't stop with talking.
Who's not even playing that much in Toronto anymore? So it's driving me insane.
I think
Ed Davis type player.
I just wish the Grizzlies front office would release some really damning information about James Johnson, which would make me be like, oh, that's okay, why I let him go.
Yeah.
I mean, he did have a domestic charge.
He punched
his
old lady in the face or something.
But of course, dismissed. Like those things are want to do in today's.
That was a breakfast in bed apology with perhaps a diamond ring, a Kobe style diamond ring,
and a piece of Kobe beef.
Yeah, so maybe the Grizzlies are trying to, because they're struggling without Zebo in. And we'll talk more about that. If you don't know, every week we talk about the Grizzlies excessively in the Grizzlies epilogue. Yeah.
But to fully answer your question, buy low on Nicholas Batum.
I think if they could get a Batum, there's even...
Buy low.
There's no way...
I don't think they would do it. He's been slumping a bit, but they're playing so well, I don't know why they'd do it.
He was incredible in the summer. With France.
Incredible at punching with Rudy people Gobert. Right in the ball bag.
We can also say, we can turn it away from that, Rudy Gobert, who you thought, John, might be the NBA MVP.
That was my bold prediction.
Dark horse.
He's been playing really well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's turning into him, although his long-term goal...
The new Ben Wallace.
It's Whiteside-esque, some would say.
His long-term goal is to be a NBA starter.
Oh,
set the bars achievable.
And then you say, okay, I want to start and then average X, and then I want to start and be a point
I think
guard.
He was
if
one
I
of...
If I can just achieve to be like Alex Lynn.
Is that wait, French? What was of... that? What
it's everything. The Luigi de Tomi.
Okay.
It's me. Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, Rudy. Yeah, I like.
He did have... I think,
Borat
I think he was one of four players to have... 10 points, 5 boards, 5 blocks in a quarter. And he did that, in the last week.
Incredible.
The MVP prop bet is still alive.
That's a good one. All right, well, let's get to the... those were some of our more smothered, scattered, covered... I got those wrong, but whatever.
Scattered, smothered, covered.
Let's move on to our awards segment of the evening. This is the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. This is handed out weekly to the worst performance in a box score.
There's some doozies this week.
I will say I should have had something prepared for this. One of our iShop winners is not in the league anymore.
Uh-oh.
Week one.
Uh-oh.
Week one's winner, Lance Thomas. His non-guaranteed contract was sent to the Knicks, and Phil Jackson told him to get lost.
See you later, bye. Oh, by the way, can you name three Knicks starters?
Nate Walters?
Aldridge. Cole Aldridge.
Two more.
Big Country.
Jason Smith.
Big Country Mark II.
And Jose Calderon.
And they're trying to trade Calderon.
They're so bad.
They play literally this summer in Vegas at the NBA Summer League. I saw their entire, their starting lineup that played the Grizzlies on Monday night was all in Vegas Summer League, except for Calderon. And then all the bench guys, I mean, something like Quincy Acey.
Shaking my head.
Quincy Acey was on the Kings Summer League squad, but he was in the game. Literally, there was times where the Grizzlies couldn't score on the Knicks Summer League squad plus Pablo Prigioni.
Get ready for that Cle'Anthony Thomas breakout. To happen, or as I like to call him, Clean Tony.
Clean Tony.
Clean Tony. All right, so here are our. I'm gonna. I uh, I took over the Stackhouse Award last week and just named them. I gave John and Chuck what the winners were.
Huge.
I think that's pretty much what's going to happen.
They started rebelling. So I'm going to give you four nominees, gentlemen.
All right.
And
we'll try to make you proud.
And I will say, since we were on a short week, I was worried we would not have...
There were plenty.
But so Wednesday night, going into last night, I'm like, we need some doozies.
Didn't Deion,
and Stackhouse delivered.
Didn't Deion Waiters not even make the list?
Deion Waiters, 1-for-9, first game in a Thunder jersey, not on the list.
Oh, okay, guys,
wow. I just want to make sure, before we start with these nominees, we need to do one thing.
What's that?
Build a f***ing wall here.
Oh.
Okay, whatever we do, build a f***ing wall.
Absolutely, Stan.
You got it.
That's good. All right, so
that was Stan Van Gundy, by the way.
Yeah, Stan Van Gundy. Stopping in. I'm also not even including Tony Roten going 4-for-19 last night.
That game was hard to
watch. I am not including his running mate Robert Covington, who went 1-for-11.
Ugh. And, all right, but you are including third one.
Oh yeah, but the third one, the third of the triumvirate makes the list. All right, our four nominees are Kobe Bryant, took some time off, came back. 2-for-12, 4 points, 6 turnovers.
This may turn into the Kobe Bryant Memorial.
Yeah, Jerry Stackhouse may have to seed naming rights.
He did have 8 defensive boards and 7 assists, but 6 turnovers.
Ooh.
All right, and then we have...
Sorry, guys, I'm dying.
Stan Van?
All right, so Kobe was 2-for-12. We have Derrick Rose in a surprising blowout loss to the Jazz. 3-for-15... 7 points. That's about it. 4 boards, 2 assists, 3 turnovers.
Also got me, negative 5 fantasy.
The old
points.
Negative fantasy game. And then, speaking of negative fantasy games, Russell Westbrook.
Also had him on my team.
In a blowout loss to the Kings. 3-for-19, 7 turnovers. He had a really bad game score. Keep track of those, like a -1.5. All right, so
reverse win shares.
Our nominees are Kobe Bryant, 2-for-12, Derrick Rose, 3-for-15, Russell Westbrook, 3-for-19, and then a defending champ. Michael Carter Williams.
Here we go, MC Dub.
1-for-13, but that length. Oh, that length.
So
he's
long.
So long.
Ow, he's long.
1-for-13 for 5 points. 4 turnovers, stuff the stats.
Are you just going to give it to MC Dub, or can we vote?
You can vote. My vote counts three.
Nobody ever.
I'm gonna throw in a vote for that Westbrook line because of the 7 turnovers.
Yeah.
That's truly horrid. At least he never stopped shooting.
He did have 7 turnovers.
That MC Dub line is pathetic.
Magna Carta Williams, as I like to call him. He's the one. He's the one. He did it. He did it this
week. I think coming off last week's 2-for-20, Michael Carter Williams rides that momentum to a second consecutive.
Do you think he'll ever give it up? Or is this going to be like...
I think the gauntlet's been thrown. I mean, let it be known, again, as I said, Tony Roten, Robert Covington, Michael Carter Williams, teammates.
They're all...
combined for 6-for-44 last night.
Ugh.
That's really, really low.
That's some, like, what's the team that plays against the Globetrotters? Like the Generals?
The Washington Generals.
That's Washington Generals stats.
Mm-hmm. So, congratulations.
That's Miami.
Michael Carter
stats.
Williams.
Easy.
Consecutive weeks. The International Stackhouse Pancakes. Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner.
Giving that an Orson Welles clap.
Oh,
you bravo.
You did it, dog.
Bravissimo.
You did it, dog.
All right, so now let's wrap up. What's our par fadeaway? Our par fadeaway, the things to look forward to this week. Things that are going on.
For me, it's just about Zach Randolph practicing today and returning. And maybe the Grizzlies being good again.
I want to know when the Pistons or Hawks will lose.
Jeez.
Who loses first?
Got to get out of the way of that call train.
Call train. We haven't even mentioned their team or players once this week. Golden State Warriors.
That's just,
are still just thumping people on the head.
Yeah, Klay Thompson
had
a ridiculous night last night.
Oh, man.
They're still destroying people even when Bogut's out.
And
injury's not slowing
them
down.
They beat the Thunder, and Steph Curry, I'd never seen a player who was that in the zone with his handle.
Right, yeah.
Like his handle was in the zone. He did some silly moves that made Westbrook look foolish, who was diving for steals. Wow.
Reminiscent of and one's hot sauce.
I was more of a Skip to Malou kind of guy.
Yeah. Skip to Malou did make it. He made it.
He did make
he
it.
Made it.
He was terrible on the Heat.
That's really good.
Terrible. All right. I was so excited when they signed him. My part fade away.
Yeah.
if you guys are into really good Twitter, I would go check out Hassan Whiteside's Twitter. It's at Young Whiteside. And
oh God,
I'm sorry, John, but Hassan Whiteside, you may need a bigger boat for Mark the Shark, but we got ourselves a great Whiteside on our team. And yeah, that's actually the top photo on his Twitter page, isn't from his Instagram, of Every Scar Tells a Story. And it's just a picture of a great white shark who looks like he's been into a few fights. So if you could, go check out the boy.
The great Whiteside.
Yeah, the great Hassan Whiteside.
This means war, Chuck.
Yeah.
There can be only one great white.
That's a good one. All right, guys, thanks.
In the words of Rush Limbaugh, he's black.
If Rush Limbaugh said that, no one else. No one here. We do not associate ourselves with that.
Well, thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter, at FastBreakBreak. Tweet at us. Use those hashtags.
Hashtag RIP...
RIP Bogan's trade. Oh, we didn't even...
Bogan's trade except Bogan's trade.
Timothy Mozgov got absorbed into Keith Bogan's.
It was absorption.
So thanks for listening, you guys. Remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, to our faithful listeners, thanks for sticking around to the Grizzlies epilogue.
It's epitaph this week.
Again. Yeah. Grizzlies epithet. The wasn't a good week. Again, we're living in the world of Zach Randolph not playing and this team being incredibly ill-equipped.
I miss his musk.
To not have Zach Randolph. He looks good. Yeah. I mean, he looks handsome. He's got some nice fitting suits. I'd swipe right.
Well tailored.
He looks good over there. So...
And for the record, these were all three losses. The win against the Knicks does not count because we spotted them 25 points.
So again, you don't win championships in January. There's no reason to go out and beat everyone, you know, at the expense of being of peaking at the right time in the season. But for a team that we think is among the best in the NBA when healthy, this week was not as fun. We've had the earlier four-game losing streak wasn't bothersome. And honestly, this isn't bothersome either.
Getting blown out by the Nuggets.
But this is the first time this season where we've gone into Grizzlies games where I was like, well, we're not going to win.
Yeah, oh yeah, Hawks game, we weren't going to win.
So going into the Nuggets game, just because it was the second on the back of the back.
And at high altitude.
After looking terrible against the Lakers and winning, I went into that Nuggets game being like, the Grizzlies aren't going to win this game. And that was the first time this year where I was like, I don't think we have a chance. And then it was grotesque. The team could not play. They got thoroughly outplayed. Every man would just embarrass themselves.
Is Conley overworked? Because he is getting torched.
He is the only guy offensively who keeps us going.
Right.
We've talked a lot about his defense. And again, I don't know. Yeah, he's given up a lot of stuff, and I don't know if he's getting overworked. I'd be honestly fine with seeing him play. If we're going to play these games with, like, Lure starting and a lot of Prince and these weird where we're playing 11 guys and stuff, I'm almost fine with, like, cool, just don't play Conley as much. If we're going to take some losses, let's take some losses. Let's not half-heartedly play Conley and have him play in 35 minutes. So anyway, so the Nuggets game, they got killed. Let's just forget it. And those games happen. You know, like, those games happen during the course of an NBA season. But going in, it was like, oh, we're probably going to lose. And then they just got drilled. We did see Stokes and Adams get a little run, but again, that was a game where Adams looked really good, but it was in
Did Stokes
massive.
Get hurt? Stokes only played like 4 minutes. He started.
He and starts and then
minutes.
Doesn't play.
Keith took him out.
No. I was trolling John. I mean, I want to see the young players, typically the guys who get drafted on my team, play over during the regular season. I want to see those guys play in the place of veterans who I don't think are very good. Right. I would rather the worst young player play to see what we have and see if he develops. But I did text John, who, because Stokes is from University of Tennessee and John's a Tennessee fan, to be like, I'm out on Stokes. Sucks. Because literally what we've seen from Stokes
is a missed layup.
Yeah, he's missed a lot of layups, and like, he looks so small. And I know he pushes guys out of the way and he's strong, but he did not...
He's got that ghetto booty.
He did not seize the moment, if you will, in getting his starts. Like, he was bad in all of them.
Lure was throwing some shade at him too on the bench. I don't know if you noticed when he started over him. Stokes went by dapping everybody, and Lure just total skip ski.
And so Lure's been absolute garbage too. Coming in, he starts games and is terrible. He gets in foul trouble in the Hawks game.
Lure's got like five or six more stupid fouls before he overtakes Hashim Thabeet as my least favorite Grizzlies player ever.
So then they played the Knicks. The Knicks, it was a weird game because the Knicks were trading players like 5 minutes before a tip-off.
They dressed eight players.
The Grizzlies
This was the Quincy Acey game.
The Grizzlies played maybe 9 minutes of good basketball and won by 20.
And that was enough.
Yeah, it really was.
Quincy Acey, perfect from the floor, but the rest of his team missed every shot.
And then
16 and 19, I think.
I forgot to look this up. I actually had compiled Tony Allen's shooting chart from the Lakers and Nuggets game together.
Does it look like a Japanese flag?
It's just weird where it's like, it's just that, yeah, well, there's that whole like, yeah, it's like 11 for 22, like at point blank, like on layups. So many layups in the last week. Oh, my goodness.
If Tony Allen had any hands at all, he might be the greatest player who ever lived.
Yeah, his finish has been so off. So then let's talk a little about the Hawks game, because the Hawks game was an anticipated game.
Do we have to?
I mean, we knew it would be honestly, it was better than I thought it was going to be.
Here, John, show me on this doll where the Hawks touched you.
No kidding. God. And I was getting just waylaid by fans from old Hawks fans about the call train. And it was swipe right night.
That
was a disaster.
The Grizzlies' second unit was so bad, but cut into the lead in the first half. They could not score. Both teams could not score for a while. It was a very low scoring first half.
It was a game of runs.
Yeah. And so then they actually got close together. And then they started the second half with Kufos and Gasol together. And actually, it was great.
I loved that.
The Grizzlies. It was a perfect matchup. Gasol's a good matchup. I mean, Millsap can pull Gasol out and then beat him off the dribble, which happened a couple of times when Gasol had to close out.
Right.
But Horford had a real bad night, minus a pretty clutch shot near the end. But Kufos could guard Horford. And then Gasol and Allen were doing a great job of guarding Korver.
Right.
Like, the defense was awesome in the third quarter. And you got kind of excited. And this is me going into the game, assuming that the Grizzlies would not win.
I thought we were going to win for a while.
So then it looked like the Grizzlies might win because Mike was playing really well and Marc Gasol was playing really well. Marc Gasol at the over the backboard shot and a couple more.
Around the bars chanting Mark the Shark.
Yeah. But then at the end, as has been happening, there's a play. And again, I'm watching this game alone in my basement, holding a little kind of sleeping baby. And I'm doing some clapping on good defensive plays,
some golf clapping,
as you're wont to do,
using
watching
your
alone. Some fist pumps on we forced a 24 second shot clock violation.
Some less miles, soundless clapping.
I believe it was a 1 point ball game, and it was a thing where Jeff Teague was, and they ran a pick just with Jeff Teague dribbling at the top, and Conley went under the pick. And I just was like, no, said it out loud, because that's the Grizzlies have been getting killed on this.
Yep.
Going under these screens, the Hawks are a great shooting team, and Teague hit the three, and then broken play.
Yeah,
Conley
killed us last night.
Yeah.
His D killed us.
It's hard to say because he was so good on the offense. He was the only guy getting rebounds. Yeah. He almost had a triple-double.
Yeah, but his D, that was the difference.
I don't know.
That's how they broke away.
Yeah, I still can't figure out if it is just a scheme. If they say we're gonna live and die by letting other teams shoot threes, it seems
you can't let the Hawks shoot threes
in this age. That's just
I know it seems poisonous. Like a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And although it was weird, you and I are both John. We're both Calathes fans, even though he's been bad when we've seen him this year.
Well, it's hard to get good when you have no momentum.
That man needs to get his run. Time. So Calathes, he got the clutch minutes.
Yeah.
And we saw a lineup we never seen before. We saw.
Hopefully, we'll never see again.
Conley, Baino, Calathes, Prince,
awful.
Gasol. They came back.
Yeah,
they cut it back at the end.
That was like our version of the Warriors' super small lineup that they roll out with Draymond Green at center and all guards. Which that actually works.
It worked, and honestly, I know a lot of Grizzlies Twitter was killing it. They hated it. I thought Calavis did a good job up until the final run on guarding Korver.
Yeah.
Like, it was good. Grizzlies were turning the ball over at an incredible rate. So they put in these three ball handlers. And Calavis, again, is a decent defensive player. I mean, he can't keep up with Westbrook all the time. I mean, with Korver all the time. But then at the end, though, the Hawks were leaving Calavis open, and he started feeling it. And I've always said, you live by the Calavis three, you die by the Calavis three.
True words have never been said.
He took it upon himself, like, oh, I got this, I'm feeling good. And he missed a couple, and they were crashing the glass. And so, you know, the Hawks ran out and had that 10-0 run. So I wasn't thoroughly discouraged. I liked what I saw from some guys. But Z-Bo, we need him, or we need someone.
He practiced today. Got to have him at the Pelicans, which is our next game. And then it's, you know, we kind of bounce between playing great teams and bad teams for the rest of the week, which I guess is just the NBA way.
It's
now.
Just the NBA, yeah.
But let's just move on and never speak of this week again.
That's fine.
Is or that anything deal? That has happened today.
I mean, is that a deal, listeners?
I'm still not
very well.
I'm still not discouraged. This is like
I'm not either.
Yeah, because it's like when we've seen the Grizzlies with Z-Bo and their team, they look great. The bench has come through sometimes, but they're still, you know, they're not always there. But it's like you feel like they can get it. Vince Carter has been abysmal again.
Ugh. We are now getting in macro of the game 7 when Z-Bo got suspended for punching Easter Island head right in the face.
Well, I need a conspiracy theory on that.
Ugh. Yeah, Chuck, research that one. I don't know if you recall that.
Has there ever been another game 7 suspension for a play that no one knew was a bad play until the suspension was announced days after the game?
I got to go back.
You're telling me LeBron James or Kevin Durant would have been suspended for shoving someone?
Adam Silver Rockefeller?
In the throatish area?
I mean, no offense, Z-Bo's no Durant or LeBron, but...
I'm just saying no one else would have gotten suspended.
I remember players on a Phoenix Suns team getting suspended.
It's true, and that was very questionable.
In a weird
manner. For leaving the bench.
But that was an instance where everyone saw the instance happen and
there
was like, will they get suspended? Yes.
This was days later. No one knew anything had happened, and then it was like,
oh, yeah. Z-Bo's been suspended because Durant's a big name star.
Right,
we'd love for the Thunder to get moved on.
Well, that was the I do remember that, and I don't think
they already took our Calathis because of his stupid.
They took our Calathis
because of his Rogaine or whatever he was taking.
What was he on?
Temacil.
Rogaine
was it?
Yes,
that's what does it.
That's what made him fail the drug test.
His hair is terrible, so it's...
It wasn't
money back.
If you don't watch it, Costa Kufis will hear you. Big Babushka will come for you.
Kufis and Calathis.
They are hair twins.
The Kufis-Calathis combo.
Super deformed Calathis.
those names crack my wife up because she works in the medical field.
Oh, yeah.
And she thinks they just sound like afflictions. Or like he's got the Calathis.
Yeah. I'm suffering from
her favorite NBA name now is a Cephalosha.
Oh,
because it sounds like an engorgement of the head.
Yeah.
Apparently the Latin really matches up well. Yeah. Where Cephalosha sounds like a really bad
hydroencephalosha.
Yeah.
So he's a waterhead. He's got a hydroencephalosha.
that name cracks her up. So anyway, do we think we're gonna see a move? Last time we talked about a move was a couple weeks ago, and Rondo got traded while we recorded.
Well, I
don't think anything's happening.
But you know what? If there are teams stupid enough to trade 2 first-round picks for Timofey Mozgov,
but the Grizzlies aren't that team.
No, they're not. But maybe somebody will take Tayshaun salary off our hands, and it looks like we're willing to move a pick, so let's do it.
If the Grizzlies are willing to move a first-rounder when most teams aren't,
right?
It feels like we'll be able to get something. And I don't know if it's Wilson Chandler.
If we don't do something, we might end up, you know, Chuck might be reading off scorned, you know, Mark Gasol trade texts from me next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be in that situation or re-signing.
I know this is.
So let's do something.
This isn't specifically related to Mark Gasol, but I think you need to be worried about what Phil Jackson's doing in New York.
Not worried about it.
He's just cleared $27 million off his books, and he's about to have Amari Stoudemire drop off. And it's going to basically just be Carmelo and whoever else he can, recruit to the biggest city on the planet, the biggest media market that exists.
Well, I'll tell you this.
So
Mark is no pal. He's not worried about culture. He probably wants to just stay as close to that downtown McDonald's and Rendezvous Ribs as
I don't think there's any way Gasol looks at Carmelo in cap space and is like, give me some of that.
I don't think so. Like, I think you're right. I think all you have to do is take a bag of rings, the 11 that Phil Jackson has,
and his Zen Buddhism,
and just put them in a bucket and just say, hey, look in this bucket. There's a bunch of things that I got. You want one?
Also, look at my soul patch.
Phil Jackson is writing books in Montana just cashing paychecks. He's just cashing paychecks. Yeah,
keep getting them checks, Philly.
Yeah, he's running the Knicks organization.
I read a thing. It's like he pulled off that three-way salary dump while at dinner with Jeannie Buss. And I think the article was written to be like, oh, look how hard he is at work. I took it as like, he's at dinner and he's like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, yeah, let's just get rid of, him. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
Oh yeah. We've been trying to get rid of J.R. Smith for a year and a half.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah,
it's like W dropping bombs from Camp David.
Right.
It's exactly out.
The same thing from Crawford clearing brush and getting a drone strike. Yeah. It's exactly the same.
Oh,
thing.
Hell, I was in the middle of a round of golf about sending the drones.
What would you think, back to the small forward, what would you think if the Grizzlies might be using this information just to let teams know otherwise, as opposed to specifically calling teams?
Right.
Let people know, hey, like, we might send Kufis, Prince, and a first for something real good.
Right.
Or we might send just a first in Prince if you want to unload somebody as a way to loosen up the old trade tree.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe they could shake somebody off like a Thad Young who can play some. He's not a traditional – he's not as good as a shooter, but he has a little more versatility. He's
certainly a better shooter than Prince.
He's a Memphis guy.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm all aboard the trade train.
I want to know
– anything but the call train.
Anything but the call train. They're so good. Man, they're so much fun to watch when we in Nashville have to watch them on grainy, pirated internet feeds because they won't televise their games in Nashville.
I have a
All hail Budenholzer.
Budenholzer's that dude. I think, I like the Hawks. They're good.
The Hawks are fun to watch. You should pick up the Hawks now that the Heat are dead and plummeting.
No, I'm a Grizz guy.
I don't think we want you.
Okay. Next swipe right now, me and you will go down.
We should go.
Sounds good. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. That's all for the Grizzlies epilogue. That's all for this week's episode. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Arrive safely.